What is up? My name is Kevin Wu, and I'm an online fitness coach who helps men in their 20s lose weight and get abs for the first time through mindset, nutrition, and training. That's enough about me. Let's get right into today's episode.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Live to Inspire podcast. Today, I talk about what I wish I knew before I started lifting in terms of weight loss, of course. If I knew these principles before, I would have enjoyed my process a lot more of losing weight and also not went through the struggles I have. So listen up, you're gonna want to pay attention.
Woo! What is going on, you beautiful people? Welcome to the Live to Inspire podcast. So today I'm ever so excited to talk about this topic itself. It's what do I wish I knew about fat loss before I started lifting? That sounded weird. Fat loss before I started lifting. So now there's a lot of things I wish I wanted to get new that I know now that when I first started, I did not know. Cause like I knew all the stuff I did today, especially about fat loss, let's say, cause you guys are mostly trying to get in that phase right now. You look good. You know, lose 20 pounds as first time life. It would help me out so much. Cause I had all these different misconceptions and people telling me this and people telling me that. And then ultimately the day, it was like so many misconceptions. Like for example, it's not to do with fat loss, but weightlifting is such a growth. I genuinely believe that so much when I first started lifting that I'd go to my point, I'd be on my bed doing bicep curls on my knees, because I thought, you know, if I stood up, then it could, you know, it'd stop my growth over there. But if I was on my knees, it wouldn't stop my growth. Some kind of logic I just thought about itself. And I didn't want to be short because like my whole family was super short. Like I'm the tallest one, I'm 5'8". So that just makes show that there's a lot of things that I did not know before I started lifting. So number one is you can still enjoy those quote unquote junk foods. And I put the quote unquotes over there because I don't like to label foods as like good or bad to say. I like to kind of have them on a spectrum. It's like better and kind of worse, if that makes sense. Now, junk foods, you know, those Oreo kind of cookies, those Costco cookies, like pizzas and burgers and that good stuff. You can still enjoy them and still lose weight, right? I was doing this all the time before when I start cutting. Even here when I'm cutting down too as well, I'm still enjoying those foods itself and I'm still losing weight. But that being said, usually the general rule of thumb is 80-20. So 80% of your foods I eat are like the non-processed or the whole foods. So whole foods, I classify them as like one ingredient. Like let's just say rice or chicken, you have one ingredient. Or like broccoli is like one ingredient itself. Something like that, you get the point of potatoes. So with that being said, 80% of foods should be like that. Your other 20%, I have them as kind of like a free-for-all itself. It's like if you want those cookies, you want those donuts, you want, I don't know, a burger, something, a slice of pizza, just go for it, man. Like enjoy yourself over there. You can absolutely still lose weight as long as you're in that calorie deficit, right? That was one of the things I really did not know when I first kind of started lifting, trying to get the weight loss, is like I was so strict. Even for the weight gain side of things, I was so strict. I thought if I ate like, you know, some junk food or pizza or something like that, you know, I get fat, I wouldn't be able to build that many muscle over there, even when I was bulking. So like I'd only eat foods that I hate, which is kind of bring me to the next topic. Your foods can taste good. Man, I did not know this for the longest time of life. I swear to God, I hated every single meal that I ate for like the first, I would say 3 years. That's a fucking long time. And I just, even when I went to like Boston Pizza, brought my food in, I was eating like 800 calories at the time. It literally took me my whole lunch break, which is half an hour, to finish my meal. And now it usually takes me maybe like 5-6 minutes. Like God, my appetite's like absolutely insane. Like before, because I hated my foods. I did not like how anything tasted. My lunch break too as well. I'd take the full lunch break when I was in high school because I always brought my meal prep. It was the exact same thing. People kind of make fun of me itself. It was ground beef, broccoli, and this steamed potato. And I did not like it. I did not use like any, well, I did use a little bit of seasoning, like just salt and pepper itself. But my food tasted terrible. I did not know how to cook at all. Like, it was the worst. I didn't use like any sauces whatsoever. And the way I cooked my broccoli, I just kind of steamed it and I just threw it in. Oh, no, it was disgusting. I don't even want to think about it. So with that being said, your food can taste good. Your food can taste good when you're cutting down. And now if your food does not taste good, well, you could be like me and be like a sucking savage at that for 3 years. But like when I found flexible dieting itself, which is kind of what I preach now, is you can all incorporate those different foods like the 80-20 and actually incorporate different kind of foods and actually learning about these different recipes, like protein and oatmeal and like protein, like Greek yogurt. Like that was a game changer. Protein pancakes. Like my God, when I found out about all that stuff, man, I was actually enjoying my foods. Like I hated all my meals, and gaining weight from meals so hard because like I was, you know, I had so many calories, but I hated all my meals, and like, man, it was so difficult. But point is, your foods can taste good, right? They don't have to taste like shit, right? Now, food always tastes like shit itself. For most people, I guess, for some exceptions like me itself, you're probably going to want to go eat up more 9 times out of 10, right? Because like, you don't want to eat your food that you do have because like, you know that hamburger is like a million times better. You're not going to gag when you eat it. So your food can taste good. If you're not cooking some good tasting food right now, my number one recommendation is get an air fryer. An air fryer is a game changer. My God, that thing took my chicken breast, my potatoes, all my foods to the next level. I love my air fryer. Don't have one with me over here out in Colombia, but like I'm going to hug that thing, cherish it when I get back and give it some spooches. But with that being said, it's not an all or nothing either. So what I mean by it's not an all or nothing is fat loss is not all or nothing. It's not you lose weight or you kind of don't, in the sense that for your diet side of things, it's like if you do good, well, you did good. But if you had like one little slip up, you had a chip, and then you're like, oh, fuck it, I had a chip, might as well have the bag. And then it's like, oh, shit, I had a bag, I might as well have like that donut over there. Then, the, oh, man, I already screwed my day. Let's go create a whole cheat day now, right? Like, I've had that. I've personally experienced that so many times before in the past and learned from me. Like, it's not an all or nothing. Now, that mindset kind of comes from a competitiveness and just like, and a lot of people are competitors and people aren't, but like, that whole mindset itself, you got to abolish it. It's hard. It's hard to kind of abolish it. If you're in that state right now, the all or nothing itself, it's hard, right? But you got to realize that it's not all or nothing. You might eat one chip, but it's okay. You're not, it's fine. Like you could still lose that weight, right? Track it down to as well, especially my finding spell. Just work around it. You're fine. You're fine. Don't even stress about it. It's okay, right? You have to realize that. Now, binge eating can stem from over-restriction. Now, I've seen this time and time again for myself too as well. It's like, I know for my binge eating itself, mine kind of developed after my very first show. I never struggled with my life until after my very first bodybuilding show. I was restricting myself a lot in terms of like, man, like, oh, I want all these foods, and every single day I would look at these food kind of blogs on Instagram, would save that spot. People would tell me this food spot to eat, I would screenshot that, save that, and then I would have a whole list of like 40, 50 places I wanted to go to that I've never been to in my life. At the time too as well, like I've always been a picky eater in my life, and I was like, trying to experiment more stuff because I never experienced, like, I hadn't, like, the first time I had a grilled cheese, like, for example, was like last May, so like 2021. And for example, first time I had a Big Mac was last May too as well, like in my life. Like even like a hamburger from McDonald's, first time I had one was like 2 years ago now. Yeah, so that just gives you a point of like how picky of eater was. And I was just trying to like explore, trying to experience those things. But now with that being said, I had all these lists of things I wanted to go try out after my show. And I went hard. I was like, after my show itself, I didn't really have an end goal, right? I didn't have those goals anymore. So I just crossed off those places, went to like 3 places a day, 4 places a day. And I had binging, right? I ate so much and I felt so shitty. But at the end of the day, I felt so, so bad with myself, and I gained so much weight, 30 pounds in a week, well, 25 pounds in a week. But now that came from that restriction, right? Because I was so heavily restricted from my show itself that I didn't really allow myself to have much except like one kind of cookie a day. Like it was like my pre-work religion kind of thing, and I could manage myself. But like after that show itself, I could not hold myself back. I was like, I didn't have those goals, and I think I had anything to work towards, and my over-restriction and thinking about all the things I wanted to eat every single day. It's kind of built up, and it was like a bottle just ready to explode with this gas, and like it was due to the over-restriction I had. That's the point itself. Now, with that being said, you will lose more weight at first. Like, let's just say your first week of cutting down, you will always usually lose more weight because it's water weight. When you cut down your carbs, about 1 gram of carbs holds about 4 milliliters of water, something like that, 4 grams of water, right? Something like that. But the point is, pretty much you're going to lose all more water weight at first. It's not necessarily fat weight, but you're going to see the biggest changes in the scale in the first week to start cutting. So like, don't be, if you kind of disappointed next week that you lost like 1 pound, on the first week you lost 3 pounds, don't be disappointed. A lot of that was water weight, right? Just keep going, making that right progress in the right direction. And now, another thing is NEAT is super crucial. So non-exercise activity thermogenesis. what that is like fidgeting, doing walks per day, your steps per day. Steps per day is something I like to do with my clients itself. And that's absolutely crucial because a lot of people, let's just say, don't really have something tangible to kind of monitor. Now, if you have like an Apple iPhone itself, you can pull up the Apple Health app and you can see like your steps per day. Like I'm at 10,591 and it is 5:30 p.m., right? So a lot of times when you kind of cut down itself, this number is going to go down naturally because your body is made to survive. Your body's made to survive in the aspect that it doesn't want to lose this fat. It's made to survive, right? So it's going to hold on to the fat because it's kind of ingrained in us from our ancestrals. When ancestrals, you know, when there wasn't much to eat itself, you know, their bodies would kind of slow down, the metabolism would slow down, they would move less, so they preserve this fat so they could survive. It's a survival mechanism, but you have to go conquer that, right? If you feel a little more tired kind of day, you know, you got to keep up the steps over there. If you're more sedentary during the day, you got to make sure get up every like half an hour, walk up, around. I do that too because I'm a lot more sedentary now, given that I am looking at different kind of lifestyle, not being an in-person trainer and working all online, making content, also day trade too as well. So with that being said, you do not have to change your workout program when you do cut down. Remember this phrase, what builds your muscle is what keeps your muscle, right? So you don't necessarily have to change your work program, do more sets, do more reps, work out even more to burn more calories, quote unquote, or do like full body kind of circuit training. Yes, some phases can kind of help from time to time itself, but like just because you do a cut itself, you don't have to do all like circuit training and stuff. It's not necessary, right? What builds your muscle is what keeps your muscle. Ultimately, the day when you keep your muscle, you're able to kind of see those results and you're able to see those changes in your body. So make sure to do that too as well. Last but not least is recovery is going to be especially important. Now that your calories are decreased itself, your energy is, you know, kind of pushed up a little bit, so you can really make sure you're in your calorie deficit. You're going to need to actually really monitor their protein, also like your sleep and your stress levels, because a lot of times, let's just say we cut down, right, you're burning this fuel off your body, this fat. So you have to make sure your body's recovered itself and feeding enough protein especially so you could actually maintain that muscle, right? Because maintaining muscle is going to be absolutely important for you to really lose that weight. I mean, really get that body you want to. So with that being said, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Coach Kip, signing out.
That is the ending of today's episode of the Live to Inspire podcast. If you learned something today, then make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. Also, if you leave a written review on this podcast, that'd be greatly appreciated because that pushes this podcast to more people just like you. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Live to Inspire podcast, the number one podcast for men in the 20s trying to lose weight and get abs the first time. My mission is to inspire others to be the best version of themselves through fitness. So if you guys are tuning into this episode and want to lose weight and get your abs showing for the very first time, then DM me the words abs on Instagram at KevinWu_. That is KevinWu_. And we'll have a chat whether or not I can help you out lose that weight to get your abs showing for the first time.